Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're going to be talking about cutting away. In the Old Testament, we see this progression. When the people crossed over into the Promised Land, one of the first things that had to happen was a cutting away. All the men had to be circumcised. There was a cutting away, which was symbolic of their covenant. It was also symbolic of just cutting away, leaving the past behind. Cutting away those old things and embracing this new way of living, embracing God's way of doing things moving forward. Now, in the New Testament, it tells us we have a circumcision of the heart, not done with human hands, but done by Christ. We have this circumcision of the heart that's done in Christ. It's meant to cause us to step into this new way of living, to let go of our old ways, to get out of the flesh and to walk in the Spirit moving forward from this point on today. And so we're going to be taking communion over this today, asking God for wisdom and insight into what's been done for us in Christ, this circumcision that's been done for us in Christ, and asking for his help to let those things of the past go and to start walking in the Spirit from this time moving forward. And we're going to see today, we're going to talk about some examples from what happens when a baby is born, the cutting away, the cutting of the cord. Does something very powerful in the baby's heart. It changes the baby's heart for the rest of its life from the moment the cord is cut. So why are we taking communion every day? About 10 years ago, I pretty much had no spiritual life whatsoever. My life was very unbalanced, just seeking after worldly things, seeking after myself. And I was running my personal training gym business and life was just very up and down. My business was losing money some months, and I remember just walking around the neighborhood with my wife, telling her over and over, there's got to be a better way to live. There's got to be more to life than this. And then shortly after that, I came across this challenge to read one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day. Proverbs has 31 chapters, so on the first day of the month, you read Proverbs chapter 1. Second day of the month, you read Proverbs chapter 2. And you keep going like that until the end of the month, and then you start back over and you repeat it again. And as I started to do that, God began to work on me from the inside out. I began to renew my mind, began to develop this relationship with him. And then one day, this verse in Proverbs 13:22 just seemed to jump off the page at me. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing that we could pass on to future generations? And after some time of thinking about it and meditating on it, I came to the conclusion that the most powerful thing, the most valuable thing we could pass on would be wisdom or teaching or training for how to truly live. And so I made a commitment that day. I want to pass on lessons and systems and teaching and manuals for every area of life, for areas like purpose and health and family and finances, all the different areas of life. But really, when I made that commitment, I had no clue where to start. I was just getting started in my own journey with God. But from that point on, it was kind of like a cutting away of my own, where I'm letting go of the old and embarking on this new journey with God. My relationship with him just began to grow exponentially. He began to teach me and began to train me. And about 10 years later now, it's turned into this whole program we have called the Abundant Life Blueprint, with books and courses and partners, more than I had imagined at the time. And out of everything we do in the Abundant Life Blueprint, the most important thing is daily communion. Daily communion is what I call the number one table turner for all of life. Helps us to turn the tables in our life and change the trajectory of our lives moving forward. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. Over and over in the Old Testament, God told the people, don't forget your covenant with me. And they had this physical circumcision for the men of a symbol of that covenant. Don't forget your covenant with me. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember, helps us to remember and not forget. Helps us to abide in him so that our lives produce much fruit. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. It's proving the death that activates all of the benefits. So in a way, communion is like an activation of all these benefits that are found in the new covenant. And I found that it's this opportunity for us to receive these promises that God has made us in Christ and to activate them, to serve as a marker in time, to say, you know what, that's the day that I received that promise from God. And he helped me start walking in it from that point on. And we can combine these spiritual principles of the sacrifice of Jesus. We can pull this sacrifice into our mind and remembrance. Make his sacrifice active and relevant right now today. And combine it with something practical and physical that we do in the taking of the cracker and the juice. That we can release our faith into. It unites our entire spirit, soul, and physical body together. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, to take it with the fear of the Lord. With deep honor and awe and reverence and appreciation for his sacrifice and all that he went through. And I think it's important we remember both sides of the cross. On one side, we remember the lead up to the cross. He was rejected by his own people, betrayed by one of his own disciples. He's got all the pressure on him in the garden. All that pressure, sweating drops of blood. And then he's captured, he's spit on, he's beat, he's whipped, carrying the cross all the way up the hill. Nailed to the cross, nails in his hands and his feet, crown of thorns on his head, pierced in his side. And the worst part of all, I think, is he had God against him. He was separated from God, and the cup of God's wrath was poured onto his body. He felt what it was like to have God against him, the cup of God's wrath poured onto him. But on the other side, he's raised back to life. He's victorious over death. And that same victorious power, that same spirit that raised him from the dead, now lives on the inside of us. He enabled that to happen because of what he did on the cross. And now we become right and holy and perfect in God's sight. We have this new covenant with God, this personal relationship with him. God was against Jesus. The cup of his wrath was poured onto him so that he could be for us. He could fight for us. We could have the cup of his blessing in our lives. I think it's important we remember both sides of that. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves. Because the Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. And if communion has the power to do that in the negative, I believe it has the power to do the opposite of that in the positive, if we take it the right way, to make us healthy and strong and give us long life. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical physical workout tips and advice. Because I truly believe physical exercise is meant to teach us how to exercise our faith, to receive this grace by faith and experience God doing the work through us. And then once we know how to do that, we can apply those same principles into other areas of our life as well. So let's get started with our prayer. And then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, all their families, all their friends, everybody connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. I thank you for releasing us from darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. I thank you that Jesus was smitten for us so that you could fight for us. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better. That the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us. And the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named. Not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body. The fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today. and help us be sensitive to those opportunities. I ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, so we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is our time to examine ourselves. Are we making today a masterpiece? And how are we going to do that? We're going to get connected to the Master, because we have to have this eternal perspective with God. But our relationship with him has got to be brought down into today to impact every area of our life today. The decisions we make, the things that we do, the things that we speak, the things that we're thinking about throughout the day. And masters of anything are masters of the fundamentals. That's where we talk about executing these four fundamentals and bringing some presence and some energy and some fun into them today. So our first fundamental, let's get positioned in the light today. This is like the on-off switch. Either we're in the light or we're in darkness. There's no in between. To be in the light, we're going to start with humility. Simple, childlike faith. We're going to humble ourselves like little children. Humbling ourselves in relationship to God, humbling ourselves in relationship to other people. Because it's the humble who are given grace. It's the humble who are exalted and promoted. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to forgive ourselves in the middle. We're going to stop beating ourselves up and condemning ourselves. There's going to be this cutting away. We're going to let go of some things. And we're going to let that grace and forgiveness flow through us to other people, giving them the same love and grace and forgiveness that God has given us. And we're going to take our position in love today, kind and patient and gentle, always assuming the best, keeping no record of wrong, delighting in the truth, always hoping, always trusting, always persevering, because love never fails. And we're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today. It's one of the greatest expressions of faith, and it's one of the easiest ways to just keep our position all day long. And when we get in position, it helps us to be in position to receive all that God has for us. Think about a quarterback and a receiver. The quarterback's throwing the ball over here, and the receiver runs the wrong direction. He's out of position to be able to receive. When we take our position in the light, we're stepping into Christ. And God has taken everything that he has, and he gave it all to Jesus. And we get this amazing opportunity that we get access to that. We get to be in him today. And all these amazing things are available. His spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy, his mind and wisdom, his kingdom and purpose, his health and energy, his time and finances, and so much more. It's all available today to be received. And then we got to learn how to get it flowing through us, where we see the fruit of it out in the world. So our first step is to get in position. Our second step is to magnify the light. This is going to make it bigger or greater. It's going to expand the capacity where God can flow more of all these good things through us. And to magnify the light, it's all about what we focus on. Where's our focus and attention throughout the day? I think of it as meditation. When I think of meditation, I think of constant repetition. What are the things that we're just consistently rolling over and over on the inside? The things that we're consistently speaking about all the time. As an example, you've probably had some issue or problem that you had before. And the more you thought about it, the more you toiled away trying to figure out the solution, the more you talked about it with people, the more confused you became, the bigger the problem seemed to grow on the inside. You came no closer to the solution. Actually, you got farther away from it. Well, that same principle works with the things of God. If we'll learn to magnify him, everything that he has within us is going to begin to grow, and it's going to begin to expand. It's also going to get this new covenant rooted and established in our hearts, where we begin to understand his grace, and we become more fixed and consistent and immovable when the issues and pressures of life come our way. So to magnify the light, we can magnify God's word. Be studying it, be thinking about it and talking about it, meditating on his word. We can magnify his unfailing love and faithfulness, his mighty works, that nothing's impossible with him. We can magnify our righteousness in Christ. We've got peace with God. We've got his blessing and favor on our lives. We can magnify every good thing that he put within us. We've got this treasure in jars of clay. And just stay focused on all the things that are going well. Looking back at all that God has already done in our lives. And thinking about what he started, he's going to finish. He's going to see it through to completion. He's going to sustain it by the power of his word. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's simply choosing not to magnify them. So instead of toiling away, trying to figure everything out, rolling those problems over and over and over in our mind, we're going to let them go. We're going to cut them away. We're going to let them go. We're going to give them to God, and we're going to rest and trust in him, and we're going to start magnifying him instead. But he does give us a choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, insisting on our own way, meditating on all the ways we've been wrong, all the things that people have done to us, magnifying those issues and problems, bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, venting and complaining or pouting, all rather than resting and trusting in him. And that's where we're going to recognize the symptoms, because wherever we're positioned, whatever we're magnifying is going to produce some symptoms in our life, some symptoms and side effects. When we're out of position, or we're magnifying the wrong things, there might be the tendency to retaliate at people, might snap at them. We might withhold good things that we know to do because they did something we don't like. We might avoid people or give them the silent treatment. And none of those are the way of unconditional love and grace. On the inside, you'll feel this heaviness and weight and pressure like it's all sitting on you. Might have feelings of hopelessness, helplessness, powerlessness, like there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do about it. Might feel trapped or you're stuck, like there's no way out. Then there's the low energy. I think of it like a black hole. It just begins to suck all the energy right out of you. Then emotionally, there's the fear and stress and worry and just the toil and torment in our mind as we're just rolling those problems over and over again. We're dreading things in the future. We're toiling away, visioning worst case scenarios and all these things playing out in the future that will probably never happen. There's confusion because the more we magnify those problems, the more confused we get. But when we take our position in the light, there's this rest in our soul. There's this fullness and completeness in him. And when we rest, God goes to work. And now everything is free and easy and effortless. You begin to feel his peace and his joy and his love, his faith and courage and energy all begin to rise up and flow through you. Got his mind and wisdom flow. And now all of a sudden we've got hope in any and every situation because we've got God with us. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace. That if we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to turn it right back around to get back in position again. Because every day life's throwing stuff at us to try to knock us out of position, to try to get us to magnify the wrong things. And sometimes we miss it. But God gives us this grace. If we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to turn it right back around again. How do we do it? We start with humility. Father, forgive me. I've missed it. We forgive ourselves in the middle. If we need to say we're sorry to somebody else, we take those steps. And then we start praising and thanking him for his grace and his goodness and his love. And that what he put within us is more than enough. More than enough to handle whatever's coming our way today with beauty and grace. And I like to pray this very simple prayer. Father, thank you that what you put within me is more than enough for today, for whatever I've got coming at me today. Help me tap into it and cultivate it and see it flowing in my life at a greater level. You pray that simple prayer, you'll feel that weight lift off you, feel the pressure come off. You feel his peace and his joy and his love just begin to wash over you on the inside. It's truly a beautiful thing. Then our third fundamental, we've got to stay tuned in today. Every day, God's trying to teach us and train us and navigate us through the day. But we've got to stay tuned into him. My favorite way to do this is with the journal before bed. And lately, we've been talking about installing some what we call filters at the top of our journal. These filters are just short phrases or maybe a sentence that reinforces God's standards, his way of doing things into our life. Just a constant reminder that we keep writing every day. We talk about changing them out every month and putting a new filter at the top. So, for example, a filter might look something like this. God is working continually for my good. And I'm going to do continually good for others. And now when there's something coming at us in life and we're tempted to worry, we're tempted to get afraid, whatever it may be, we got this reminder. Wait a minute. God's working continually for my good. He's working on this behind the scenes. I'm going to give it to him. And then as you go throughout the day and somebody does something that pushes your buttons or gets under your skin, or maybe they wrong you in some way, we've got this reminder. Wait a minute. Even when I miss it and I mess up, God gives me grace. He does good for me. I'm going to do that same thing for other people. Just that little reminder to help us navigate through the day, to make our decisions by as we go throughout the day. And then I like to start my journal with gratitude and praise to get in position. And then I like to magnify what went well today. What are all the ways I saw God showing up today? Because the more we magnify them, the more we look for them, the more they're going to grow, the more of them we're going to see. And then I like to ask this question. God, what are you trying to show me today? And then just take a couple minutes to get still and listen. Whatever comes into my mind, just begin to write those things down. It's important to get it out of our heads and onto the paper because it helps us to remember and not forget. And then we got to stay tuned in as we go throughout the day. He's trying to navigate us every single day. If you ever feel like you're losing that connection with him, just take 1 to 2 minutes to slow down, get connected to him. Get aware of his presence with you. Get charged up and powered up in him. Think of it like plugging your phone back in to get powered up again. And then the final thing I've learned to do in my journal is to plan out the upcoming day with God. And I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? What do I know to do today? Because I learned sometimes I was getting out ahead of God. I'm toiling away in my mind, trying to figure everything out, trying to force things to happen ahead of schedule, taking action on things that I don't really know quite what to do yet. On the other side, sometimes I was getting behind God, because I was procrastinating on things that I knew to do. And so I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? We make out with a plan for today, and then we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning, excited for the day. And we remember this very important principle, that the first thing out of our mouth every morning sets the tone for the whole day. And recently I was asking God, what's the best thing for us to say first thing in the morning? And I felt like he was taking me back to the very beginning of the Bible, to Genesis chapter 1. The first word we see God speak in the whole Bible is, let there be light. The first words that he speaks, let there be light. And so I've started waking up every morning. The first thing out of my mouth, let there be light. And then I like to add, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. And it's amazing what that does for your day. That simple little thing doesn't seem like it does much, but it just sets the tone for the whole day. And then we're going to start walking out that plan together with him today, with a willing heart and a good attitude, full confidence in him, just that simple childlike faith, all the doubt and unbelief removed, just childlike faith. He's right there with us every step of the way today. And when we get to that place of confident faith, his grace just begins to surge through us. He begins to go to work. He begins to beautify our lives and bring these beautiful solutions to the problems that we're facing. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our lives. Let's talk about cutting away today. So I'm going to read a section. This is coming from my book, 7 Days with Jesus. And we got a section in there. This is on the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which we just finished the Feast of Unleavened Bread about a week ago. Talking about cutting away. It says, when the Israelites were coming out of the wilderness, they first had to cross the Jordan River, which represented their baptism in the Spirit. Once you've been baptized in the Spirit through a step of faith, the next step was circumcision. When the Israelites came out of the wilderness and crossed over into the Jordan River, all of the males had to be circumcised. So imagine learning that after spending 40 years trying to get into the promised land, the first thing you had to do when you crossed over, you had to get circumcised. In the Old Testament, circumcision was a sign of putting off the flesh, a symbol of cutting away. Circumcision was the covenant that God made with Abraham early in the Old Testament. And I'm going to jump ahead a couple paragraphs here in the book. But it says in Colossians 2:11, in him, in Christ, in Jesus, you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. In the New Testament, our circumcision is the act of putting off our old self and having our heart renewed. Again, this is why we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What God desires is a circumcision of the heart. As we begin to believe him, our faith is credited to us as righteousness, and we undergo a circumcision of the heart. Romans 2:29 tells us that a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit and not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 6, God tells the people, "The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants, so that you may love him with all of your heart and with all of your soul and live." Now, I want to look at this, a second passage from the book. I'm going to jump ahead to the end of the chapter here. So we're going to talk about what happens. Well, let's look at this scripture first here. So this is when the people, this is Acts 2, 37 through 39. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. It's right on the, I think it's on the day of Pentecost, where the disciples are testifying about Jesus. It says they were cut to the heart. And they asked Peter and the apostles, "What do we do now? Brothers, what do we do? We heard this message. What do we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise belongs to you and your children and to all who are far off, to all whom the Lord will call to himself." So think about that verse. Jesus, or God, just says, "I'm going to circumcise the hearts of you and your children and your descendants forever going forward." So what happens? So in the book, 7 Days with Jesus here, we talk about some symbolic things that happens when a baby's born. That happen when a baby's born, the cutting of the umbilical cord, a cutting away from the mother. So when a baby's born, this is coming from 7 Days to Jesus, when a baby's born, several events occur in quick succession. First, the baby takes its first breath. Up until this point, the baby hasn't used its lungs because the mother is supplying everything the baby needs, just as God does for us when we're in the wilderness, as we're being prepared. When the baby takes its first breath, the lungs are filled with oxygen and the lungs are activated to start their work. Second, the umbilical cord is cut, shutting off the mother's supply line to the baby, who is suddenly reliant on outside oxygen. Now, after the Israelites were circumcised, it says they celebrated the Passover, and then all of a sudden the manna ceased. So we see some correlations. When the cord was cut, the manna ceased. God's supernatural supply of food ended. Just like when the cord is cut, the umbilical cord for the baby. That's how the baby was getting food and oxygen, all these types of things. The supernatural supply of food ended, and the Israelites had to learn to acquire their own food by faith. When the umbilical cord is cut, an interesting thing happens in the baby's heart. Prior to its first breath and the cutting of the cord, the baby's heart doesn't need to infuse the blood with oxygen by filtering the blood through the lungs, because the mother is already supplying blood that has oxygen in it. And so because the mother is filtering the blood for the baby's blood passes directly from one side, from the right side of the heart to the left, goes straight from one side to the left. So there's an opening in the heart. The blood just goes straight through the heart. But when the baby takes its first breath and the cord is cut, this miraculous thing happens. The baby's heart is changed forever. The pathway that the blood was going through from the right side to the left side of the heart permanently closes off. There's an actual physical change that happens in the heart. The heart begins to close off in the middle. And now the blood is routed to the lungs to get oxygen, and then it comes back in on the other side of the heart with oxygen in the blood. So the body is dependent on oxygen in the blood. Without the blood, life of the flesh is in the blood. So the transformation of the baby's heart is echoed in our transformation when we're born again. When we accept Jesus into our heart, a seed is planted in us. Like a woman is impregnated with a seed. Her pregnancy lasts for 40 weeks, which you see the wilderness is always linked to the number 40 typically. And then we got to grow. But there was this cutting away. And the main point I want you to get away from today is that we were circumcised in Christ already. We have to receive it by faith. And when that happens, our hearts are forever changed. It changes our hearts forever, allowing us to let go of the old and to embrace this new way of living. And it's this amazing thing that happens. It causes us to want to dedicate our lives to Him, to want to do it. So Heavenly Father, just so grateful today for these reminders. We're asking for wisdom and insight and revelation, and to just help us know what happened in Christ, this circumcision that we have in Christ, this cutting away, and how it truly changed our hearts, truly gave us a change of heart. We're asking for insight into that today. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, He took the bread. He said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Just take a moment to remember. Just close your eyes if you need to. Just remember all that He went through leading up to the cross and on the cross. But then He was raised back to life. That same victorious power over death now lives on the inside of us, lives on the inside of you. He makes us right and holy and perfect in God's sight. At this personal relationship with Him. Father, we thank you for this bread. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins." It's the forgiveness of sins that releases us from darkness, that transfers us into the light. We have this personal relationship with God. So, Father, we thank you for this cup. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. All right. Let's talk about some workout stuff here. Main thing I want to talk about today, we talk about cutting away. Just keep it simple. People make it overly complicated in the area of health and fitness. Keep it simple. If you look at our daily communion workout, we're trying to keep it with just the basic exercises, the fundamentals. Let's master the fundamentals. Let's be able to move our own body weight well. Get good at being able to do like things like squats and push-ups and pull-ups and sit-ups. Just the basics. You get really good at those, you'd be amazed at what happens. Then let's get really good at just the basics of weightlifting. The basics of weightlifting, be able to squat and deadlift and press with good form and technique and beautiful, graceful approach to it, getting stronger over time. Let's keep it simple. Let's just work on our ability to move like little children again, be able to move, to run and jump and throw, and to be able to repeat that over and over with good endurance, flexibility and mobility like little children. Just keep it simple. You keep working on those things. You get stronger at moving your own body weight. You get stronger with weights, at being able to lift a higher percentage, a relative strength of your own body weight. And just improving your movement, the ability to move and play like a little kid. Just keep doing those things. You're going to be amazed at what it does for you. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.